is high time to talk sport with Warwick Hadfield. Warwick, good morning.
Good morning to you, Fran.
In cricket, the Australian women completely dominated Ireland in the second game of their T20 World Cup campaign.
Yeah, look, Fran, Elisa Healy, with the fastest half century in the history of this tournament, powered Australia to a 9-wicket win over the Irish in Guyana. Her 50 came from just 21 balls. She finished 56
not out. Ooh, that would have been fun to watch.
It was fun to to watch, unless you were Irish, Fran. I think that a lot of Irish cricketers had sunburnt mouths from watching the ball go back over their heads, Fran. Look, it continues a rich vein of form for Elisa Healy since she's moved up to the top of the batting order for Australia. She's done it a lot in club cricket. She's now averaging 72 from her last seven games, and the pyrotechnics came after Australia had kept the Irish to 6 for 93. Elise Perry. So the big name's really coming out at the moment. The best of the bowlers with a couple of wickets. So using that tried and true method best suited for the Providence Stadium pitch, bowl straight, they miss, we hit. Now, Australia's next game is against New Zealand, where the opposition's going to be a little bit stiffer than the last two games against Pakistan and Ireland. Those wins, though, by Australia have put them on top of the competition so far, Fran.
And in football, the Matildas need to win and win well against Chile in Newcastle tonight.
Well, Fran, the aftershocks from the 3-2 loss last Saturday night in Penrith are still being felt and could be felt all the way to the next World Cup. If the Matildas lose this second game, and even if they don't, their top six ranking ahead of next year's World Cup is in some jeopardy. Inside the top six, you miss out on playing the other top six sides in the world because they're in the other five groups. So qualifying for the for the second round, the knockout round, is just that little bit easier. But with the announcement of the top six to come in December, it's going to be a very, very interesting few weeks ahead for the Matildas. As Booker T might say, Fran, time is tight.
In cricket, could it be true? Is peace about to break out between Cricket Australia and the Players Union?
Well, Fran, what we have is some certainly welcome news that the board members of Cricket Australia and the Australian Cricket Association are having meetings to decide when to hold a meeting for all the board members from both sides to try and rebuild those bridges which were incinerated beyond recognition by the pay dispute last year. And, of course, have been set alight again, what was left, set alight again recently following the release of the two reviews into the culture of Cricket Australia. The ACA are calling, of course, for the lifting of the bans on Steve Smith et al. But, look, for those of us down at the grassroots, maybe there's some hope that maybe the people in the Blazers are hearing the voices. The grassroots people are the ones who prepare the wickets, make the afternoon teas, and really are the heart and soul of the game, holding it together. And they do this all without access to the front of the aeroplane and the largesse of the corporate suites. Now, thankfully, there is one group which is rising above all this. That's the Australian women's team. They won their T20 World Cup game in Guyana yesterday by 9 wickets. And as a bit of a reward, they're having a day off. And that's before they play New Zealand tomorrow morning, Australian time. Tomorrow morning, various, of course, depending where you are in Australia, Fran.
Indeed. And in rugby union, the Wallaby coach, Michael Checker's position is still safe for now.
Look, Fran, after the general staleness of the 9-6 loss to Wales last weekend, and that was the first one forever, the blowtorch has been ignited or reignited, if not at board level, then certainly from what remains of the game's supporter base. With a World Cup looming, and Checker, of course, got the Wallabies to the final of last one, people in office they don't want to make change because they think change could cause as many problems as it solves this close to a World Cup. However, change might just become inevitable if the Wallabies lose to Italy this weekend. You just don't lose to Italy. But when you're up to your third hooker in a row who can't throw straight at the line out, and against Wales it was Tolu Latu, well, everything is a possibility. But Latu is not alone in a forward pack that, even with the presence of such luminaries as Michael Hooper and David Pocock just can't seem to go forward, Fran.
Sure. And in tennis, just briefly, Ashley Barty and Dylan Alcott are the favourites to win the Newcombe medal. Both of them would be for a second time.
Yeah, well, look, Barty won it last year on the strength of that famous rise and rise through the rankings, something which did continue in 2018. She's now number 15, the 15th ranked best female.
It's pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's a tremendous effort by her. But Alcott, who won the medal in 2016, he's also had a pretty brilliant 2018, including the wheelchair final at Flushing Meadows. There are two other nominees, John Millman and the bloke about whom we spoke at length yesterday, Alex de Minaur, who's also rising through the rankings at the speed that Ashley Barty would be impressed by, Fran.
It's looking good. The future in tennis. Warwick, thank you very much.
Good on you, Fran.
Warwick Hadfield. It's 24 minutes to 8 on Breakfast.